Well, we've been working on a series. We're in the middle of a series called Create Contentment. And we started it last week. We'll wrap it up next week. And then the following week, we actually have consumed speaker Daniel Eliason coming to speak. Anyone know him? Does anyone know that guy? We sort of consider him one of our own, and we're excited to have him share. But before that, we're working through this series, Create Contentment. And the whole purpose of this series was we're trying to get ahead of Christmas. Sometimes Christmas comes with chaos. Christmas comes with all sorts of busyness and stress and just a lot going on. And so we're trying to get ahead of that a little bit and say, hey, do we need to spend all the money that we do? Or do we need to feel pushed right to the edge like we do? Do we need to feel like we have to have the best parties and all the best stuff and make sure everyone gets the best gifts and also be as generous as we possibly can be? Do we need to do all of those things and be stressed out about all of those to the point where January comes and we're like, I don't know how I'm going to make up all of this debt. I don't know how I'm going to handle myself. We're crashing in January. Or we miss Christmas altogether, you know? Maybe sometimes it's that Christmas is so busy that you have family around and it's the time when everyone comes together and January hits and you realize you never actually talked with anyone. You know, you never actually built relationships. It's just been too busy. And so instead of saying, hey, it's going to be a nice, stressful Christmas season this year, we're trying to say, what would it look like for us to now plan for contentment into the Christmas season? What would it now look like for us to prepare in a way where we'd actually feel okay, where we'd actually feel good, like we're in a good place all the way through the Christmas season? So if you missed last week, we talked about the idea that sometimes contentment is missed because we think we need more than we actually do. And contentment is when all of our needs are met, but sometimes it just feels like my needs aren't being met when really our needs are. We've just determined that some things are our needs that aren't actually. Some of the things that we say we need, we don't actually need. So last week we talked about what trust in God would look like as far as contentment goes, is not just asking Him to take care of our needs, but asking Him to define our needs. Tell me what is actually a need, God. Tell me what do I actually need to be content. Show me what that is. So we started there last week, and this week we're talking about a new thing. We're going to be talking about the idea of margin, the idea of pace, the idea of living our life in accordance with the way that God has marked out for us to live our lives. I want to start with a verse, Proverbs 3, 9-10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Who wants an overflowing barn? Anyone? Come on. I want an overflowing barn. I'd just take a barn, actually, but overflowing is even better. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. It was I started here at Northgate a few years back. And I remember feeling like when I started here, I hadn't been a lead pastor before. This was the first time. And so I didn't exactly know what to expect. I didn't exactly know where things were going to lead to and what was going to happen and what should I be. But I knew in my mind, I thought, whatever is going to happen, it's going to take all of me. You know, wherever this church is supposed to go, it's going to require that I give it all of my time, all of my money, all of my effort, all of my thoughts, all of my everything. I just got to pour myself into this thing. I don't know what the outcome's going to be or where we're going to end up, but I just got to give all of my calendar better be just smashed full if we're going to accomplish anything at this church. And so I would have back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings, and I would rush at every meeting. I was showing up late and sweaty. I don't know if you've ever been in that state where you show up and you're just, hey, sorry, I'm late. Nice to see you. Great. Let's go sit down. Coffee? Not me. I'm too hot already. But like, it's just not, you know, you just show and you didn't actually prep. By the way, what are we meeting for? What's your name? Who are you? What are we doing here? And it just wasn't firing at my best. Not to mention, you know, like if there was ever any traffic on the 5th Street or 17th Street Bridge, I know you feel me on this one, Comox Valley. But if there was ever any traffic, I would be, come on, I planned my day perfectly, and you're getting in the way. I'm calling people, hey, there was traffic. I can't get there until this time. I'm sorry. And every meeting seemed to be that way until my friend Carla actually came up to me and said, Evan, you need to plan margin in your day. At that point, I was like, margins for the week. Well, I don't need margin in my day. I need more. I need to accomplish something. You know, I need to be efficient with my time. And efficiency with my time is not having breaks. It's going, 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 going. If this church is going to do anything, it's going to rely on me accomplishing so much more than I'm already accomplishing, right? Yeah, everyone's hearing really good, healthy talk from their lead pastor. This is what I thought. This was what I imagined if we were going to. I didn't even know where we were going to get, but I knew that if we were going to get there, it would require that from me. And it's not. I'm not the only one that lives that way. A lot of us end up living that way in our lives. We don't even know what contentment is going to look like. We're not exactly sure when happiness will come, when we're going to get to the place that we feel like finally we'll have arrived. But we know that we don't really feel like we're there yet. And we are pretty sure that if we're going to get there, it's going to require that we do a lot in our schedule. That we need to start saying things like, there's not enough time in the day, or if only I had more money. We know that if we want to get to the place where we think we want to be, we have to give all of our time and all of our money and all of our effort, or else we're just not going to get there. We all get into that system, into that life. We all start running with that pace at some point in our lives. Even maybe you're a stay-at-home mom or dad. You stay home, and that's your job, and you know, you think, okay, well, if I'm going to be a good stay-at-home parent, if I'm going to take care of my kids, I'm going to do this well, okay, then I need to make sure I bake this much food, I need to do this much laundry, I need to wash the baseboards this many times, I need to make sure my kids are feeling in this type of place, I need to make sure we've got these types of clothes, and I manage our money this way, and I do all of these things, and if I have some downtime, I need to figure out why, because I'm not supposed to have any downtime if I'm an effective stay-at-home person. I have to take care of all these things, or else whatever, you know, place that I want, whatever contentment or happiness or whatever ideal situation I'm looking for, I won't get there if I don't give my everything to it. Or sometimes, maybe it's you're in high school, you're college. You think, I'm not sure. There's some contentment out there. I'm not exactly sure where. There's some happiness out there. I'm not exactly sure where. But I don't exactly know how to achieve it, but I sure know I don't want to miss out on it. And so I got to get to every party. I need to get to every social gathering. I need to be part of every club. I need to be part of everything. Because if I'm not part of that, I don't know. I'm looking for my contentment. It might be here. It might be there. It might be there. It might be there. I just better do everything. Find out. You fill the calendar, you know, you empty your bank account, and if you're not filling your calendar or emptying your bank account on trying to discover contentment, then you know you must be missing something. Maybe it's as a business person, you know. I don't know exactly at what point I decide that I'm happy or I've landed at contentment. I'm not sure what it will feel like, but I do know I'm not there yet, and so probably I just need to put in a few more hours. Probably I just need to get up a little earlier, stay up a little later, or work a few more weekends, because I just haven't found the content landing spot yet. It must be out there. I just have to put in a little more time. And we start to think that what is actually required of us is to give more of ourselves somehow to ourselves so that we find contentment. We run a pace that is crazy. We run a pace that we can't sustain. We run a pace that keeps us from being in relationships. Our relationships start to die off. Does anyone know that relationships are one thing you can't be efficient with, you know? I'm efficient in every area of my life. I should be able to be efficient with my wife too, right? Like, I should be able to, yes, I love you. Happy, good, yeah, carry on. So we run this pace and things start suffering and we think, well, where is contentment? Maybe it's just a few more dollars, or maybe it's just a few more meetings or a few more connections, or where will it land? It's somewhere up there, and we run a crazy pace. Now, really believing that today God is speaking to us about that we often give up his peace because of our pace. We often give up his peace in our lives because of our pace for our lives. He says, I have a contentment for you, and I have a peace for you, and I have a place where you'll feel like you need nothing else in your life, but you have to decide that you're going to get it at my pace, not at yours. That you have to get my peace at my pace, or your peace at your pace. I don't know if you've ever felt that. I know that when I run at the pace where I think I'm going to be able to find contentment for my life, I don't find peace there. I try to make peace in my own life, but it doesn't work. God says, I have peace for you. I have contentment for you. It's available to you. You don't have to look far. You don't have to do all of this extra stuff. I just want you to run at my pace, and you'll know my peace. There's two things, there's two biblical understandings of pace making, I think, that God gave us. In the Bible, there's two ways that he actually showed us how to keep pace with him. He showed us how to create margin in our life. He showed us how to create space where he could work his miracles rather than just have us work our own miracles for ourselves. And those two areas are the Sabbath and the tithe. In the Old Testament, we hear a lot about both of these things. We hear a lot about the Sabbath and the tithe. In fact, the Sabbath even makes the Ten Commandments we see. And God, when he speaks about the Sabbath and the tithe, he's talking to these Israelites who are driven and passionately involved in accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. At one point he speaks to them about, well, they're wanderers, but they're entering a new land where they're going to be established. And God is saying, you're going into this new land. You're going to be in a place where you're going to have vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to have stuff that wasn't yours that I gave to you. And God often said to them, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember who gave you all that stuff. I want you to remember who put you in that place, who put you in that land. I want you to be there and know me. And part of knowing me and my peace is knowing my pace for your life. So he says, when you go in there, I want you to do two things. One, everyone thinks that when they work 7 days a week, they're going to be able to accomplish the most. Everyone thinks that when they go in and they do their 7 days a week and they push hard, that must be when things are most efficiently happening. That your life is most useful on this planet must happen when you're doing 7 days a week. And God says, not for you, Israel. You're going to actually take a day off, a day of rest. And you're going to trust that I will provide 7 days of provision in your 6 days of work. In fact, you need to trust that I will provide 8, 9, 10 days of provision in your 6 days of work. I need you to trust. I need you to find moments in your life. I don't know that the Sabbath is the same today as it was then as far as a one day fully off. But it is that place of recognizing that there's always one more meeting that you could have that might be the breakthrough. There's always one more thing. I just need to push off one more dinner with my family. I just need to miss one more recital. I just need to, there's just one thing, but now I know that we're going to get there. I just need to push off church one more time. I think I'm making the connections in my college classroom, you know. I think I'm finally getting there. I just need to push off one more thing. I just need to, and then I'm going to be there. And Sabbath is saying, no, don't do that. I have a pace for you, and I want you to trust that the thing that you thought you'd accomplish with that one meeting, I can accomplish 10 times over if you don't go. I can take care of you. I can provide for you. I can look after you, but first, you have to run at my pace. First, you have to go at the speed that I am asking you to go at. This is one of the pacemakers that God created for us. The second is the tithe. The tithe is one of those pacemakers, because the same is true that we assume that we will be happiest if we use all of our money on ourselves. I need more money, and then once I get more money, I just need to do more for myself. You know, even when we think of contentment, we think, yeah, okay, I'm doing okay. I get that there's not a lot of needs in my life, and I've learned how to be content. But if I could do that vacation, or if I could just get that car, that would be nice. If I could just do that next level thing, if I could just take that one step, if we just had a little bit more money, that would make it easier for us to pay more bills and buy more things. And we already have plans that if our supply goes up, so will our demand. And God says it's not about you gaining more in life that's going to make you more efficient at life. It's about you actually giving to me. It's about you trusting me. God, in the Old Testament, what he said to these farmers, these people, these Israelites who are taking care of the land and providing, he says, okay, listen, when you first take off the 10%, you got to recognize that I gave you 100% of your harvest. When you first take off that 10%, I want you to give it to me for my purposes. That's a huge step of faith. That's a huge step of faith to say, well, wait a second, what if I need that 10%? What if at the end of the month, it's actually been a hard month, and I don't know, what if, and we're saying to our money, I trust you. God, I don't trust you. Money, I trust that you could carry me through this month. God, I don't think you can. Money, you could do this without God. God, you cannot do this without money. That's what we say. That's what we're saying to God when we say, I'm not going to tithe, especially not at the beginning of the month. What if I don't have enough at the end of the month? What if I'm not okay? And the farmers that God is talking to, they're just saying, he says, you give me the 10%. I want to look after you. Because when you don't, then you think that everything you have is everything you need. And I want you to see that there's actually margin between what you have and what you need. I will give you way more than you need. But first, I want you to take that step of growing some margin. I want you to recognize that I want to give you some breathing room, some space to breathe. I want to do that. And not only do I want to do that, but I want, when people look to you, I want people to see that you are doing better when you're giving some of 10% of what you have. When you're giving it away, I want people to see that you're doing better than them who don't give any away. Because it speaks of your God. It speaks of what he can do. It speaks of the miracles that he can accomplish in you. God wants some breathing room in your life so he can accomplish some miracles in your life. If you're taking care of yourself and you're going to work extra hard and do all the extra things and fill up your calendar and empty your bank account on yourself all the time and make sure you're giving yourself good gifts, and when someone comes up to you and says, wow, how'd you get that car? That's awesome. You say, well, I worked harder and gave us some extra time. I went into some serious debt and no problem. Here it is. I'm good. But if instead you say, God, I'm going to walk at your pace. I'm going to feel your peace. Now your family's doing well. Your relationships are doing well. You're feeling like you've got some breathing room. You're feeling like you're okay. And the God of good gifts may still give you that car. And when he does, someone comes up to you and says, how did you get that car? And you have such a happy family. And you seem to be taking care of yourself. And you seem to be happy. What's going on in your life? And you say, I'm running at God's pace. And God is a God of good gifts. It's not that God's saying, you give me 10% because you don't deserve that 10%. He's saying, you give me 10% so I can overflow your barns, so I can give you way more. You give me that 10% and show me that you trust me, because I want to do stuff in your life. But if you won't trust me, I'm not going to act. God wants our trust. He wants our relationship. Trust is relationship. He's a genie in a bottle for us unless we say, I trust you, God. It's two ways. When God talked about the Sabbath, he said, I want you to take the Sabbath so that you may know that I am the Lord. Because you're going to start to think that you are the Lord of your life. If you decide that if you just work more, then you're going to be okay. If you just accomplish more, then you're going to take care of yourself. But if you instead say, I can accomplish less and be actually more content, more happy, and more provided for, then you all of a sudden know who the real God is, and it's not you. It's me. The pacemakers God set in the Old Testament, and though I think there's some shift in the New Testament, I still think the value is just as strong there. The pacemakers God set were the Sabbath and the tithe. In Malachi 3:10-12, God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." That's cool. Wouldn't that be cool if we had too much for our church? If you had too much for your life? Oh, my bank account's not accepting that, you know? A lot of us have had insufficient funds. What's the opposite of insufficient? Like overly sufficient funds. Sorry, can't accept. Okay, what do I do with this, you know? There will be too much for your storehouse, as he says. And then he says, "I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed." Did you know that God always had a plan to have all nations come to know him, and he was going to do it because of the ones who were his kids? God wants to bless this whole country, but he's going to do it because the people of the church live lives that are content and fulfilled and happy and satisfied, and everyone else is going to look and say, "How are you happy and okay while you're giving away money and while you're living a sustainable pace? How are you happy?" And we say, "Oh, that's God." And they say, "Well, I want God. God always wanted to do that. God always wanted to bless not just you and me, but everyone outside of here. He's going to do that because we walk at God's pace and we thrive within it. We do well within it." He says, "Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord." Who wants to live in a delightful land? Anyone? Delightful land? I want to live in a delightful land. I feel like God's calling us to that place. So you have this story that God says, "Listen, when you come and you give to me and you bring it to my house, bring your tenth to the storehouse or to the church. If you will do that, watch how I will take care of you. Watch how I will do the miracle work in your life as you trust me." Well, there's this other story that Jesus tells in Luke 12:16-21. And he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.'" Same problem as we just heard about. "Wow, I've got too much stuff. I can't believe it. This is great. Look at how I've accomplished so much that I can't even keep all of my stuff. This is so awesome." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself," I just love that Jesus throws that in. He's talking to himself. "And I'll say to myself, 'Self, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry.'" You know? "Oh, you're fine now. You've taken care of yourself now. You have an abundance now. It's sure good that you worked that extra time. Look at how you've looked after yourself. Now you can be content because you have everything that you need and it's all looked after." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Wow. This is what Jesus says. He says, "This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Now, God is not opposed to people being rich, to people having lots of money, to people having lots of stuff. In fact, we're always going to be a church where we have some of the poor and some of the rich, where we have people who are in all different stages of life. The reality is contentment is just as challenging at every stage of life that we're in. Wherever you're at financially today, you can recognize that contentment is not easy to track down for you. That the idea of setting your pace with God is not easy to do for you. That all of us have a challenge there. And some of us are going to receive gifts from God that are big and lofty and amazing. Some of you are going to drive, you know, amazing big trucks, and some of you are going to drive CRVs, 1998, that's one of the ones. And all of these are gifts from God, but you don't see them as gifts. when you're deciding to only give to yourself. In fact, for me, a 1998 CRV, if it was all about me, that would be kind of a failure vehicle. Like, oh yeah, it's not great. And someone actually said to me recently, like, Ev, that you know that like the matte black is a cool look right now. Well, your car's already matte red. It doesn't have any shine left on it. It's perfect. It's awesome. If it was all about what I can accomplish and what I can make and what I can do, I would look at that CRV and be like, it's not that great. And, you know, sort of embarrassing. Sorry, my muffler was falling off. Got it fixed this week. Amen. It would look that way. Instead, I look at that car every single time and say, what an incredible gift that God would give me a car. That God would give me a car. The problem is we often compare to other Canadians. You shouldn't compare to other Canadians if you want to know how blessed you are. You should compare to someone in a different part of the world. You'll know then. You'll know how well you're doing. This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Worship team, you can come up. It's not that God is against you having stuff. It's that God says, I want you to be rich towards me. I want you to give towards me. See these two different stories. One, God says, I will fill your barns to overflowing. The second one, the guy fills his barns to overflowing. The first one, God says, God doesn't tell him what to do with the barns that are overflowing, but we're going to talk about that next week. Because what I believe is that when we start to live by God's pace and know the peace within God's pace, within the Sabbath, figuring out what rest looks like, and within the tithe, figuring out what faithfully giving to God looks like for our lives. When we start to figure out that pace for our lives, I believe that as the Bible said, we're going to see the floodgates of heaven open up. We're going to see blessing come out on our lives. We're going to have barns filling up and our lives are going to be fulfilled. Bank accounts, I think, are going to be filling up. Families are going to be healing and being restored. I really believe that's going to happen. But we're going to have to decide not what to do with the few little things that we have in the back of the barn. We're going to have to decide what to do with the overflow of God's blessing. And the overflow of God's blessing is that when we have lived a certain way and lived by God's pace and he's started pouring out his life and his blessing and his hope and his joy, and we're all sitting there content whether we had a full or empty barn. Now we've got a packed full barn. How much generosity rises up out of that? How much does our city get taken care of? When we're all sitting there saying, we don't need that much, and then God blew open our barns. What are we supposed to do with all this? People will start to come to know Jesus because we start saying, I have too much. I have too much time. Bet you don't say that too often. I hear there's way too, I wish there were more hours in the day. I don't hear anyone saying, oh, too many hours in the day. I just feel like I'm accomplishing too much. But what if God was saying that and you did actually feel like, I have too much time. I'm accomplishing everything. I'm doing it better than I ever was. I must have some time I can give away to someone, that I can invest in someone. I also don't hear too many people say, oh man, just having a hard time making ends not meet. I don't know what the opposite of not making ends meet. I'm having a hard time, just too much money. I don't have that many needs and I've got all this money. I can't believe it. I believe that God would actually lead us in that direction. Not so that we could be all rich and happy, but so that the Comox Valley would be changed through the generosity that could come out of our hearts. Because we have too much. God has already given us everything that we need, but then we start living at his pace and figuring out what rest in him looks like, what giving in him looks like, what trusting in him looks like, and he overflows our barns and we start just skimming off the top and giving away to people, and people will be, their minds will be blown. Say, why are you so generous with me? Watch what would happen. First, we got to figure out how to walk in his pace. And this Christmas season, I want to encourage you, church, that you can create contentment in your life. First, it comes like what we talked about last week. It comes from recognizing that the things you say are needs are not necessarily needs. You got to trust God enough to tell you, to define your needs for you. And the second thing, I think you got to trust God enough to run at his pace for your life, which will never mean that every one of your dollars goes towards you and all of your hours goes towards figuring out how to better you. His pace will never mean that. You can figure out what you want for the Sabbath and the tithe yourself. And one thing I realize myself is I have met very, very few people who regularly tithe, who faithfully tithe their 10%, who are discontent in life. I have met a whole lot of people who don't and are discontent in life. I had people coming up to me after the first service like crazy saying, when we started tithing, this happened. When we gave this much, this happened. We started seeing incredible things. We found that our marriage became healthier. We found that God was providing for us in new ways, not always financially, but in a whole bunch of new ways. We found that we were able to make ends meet. We found that somehow we were able to do our job on less time. I heard all those testimonies just this morning. For Kendall and I, that was true when we decided to take tithing seriously and said, we really want to do this. This is something important to us. We need to be faithful to God and run the pace that He has set for us, which will include margin between what you need and what you have. When we learned to run at that pace, we started having our eyes open to the amazing things that God was doing around our life. And we felt like, honestly, we felt like our barn was overflowing. And I like barns. I want a barn. And God was doing it in the spiritual world. I want to encourage you. This is the best thing you can do for your life. You can run at the pace that God has set for you to run at. And you can know the peace that God wants you to know, even in the Christmas season. Why don't we stand? I'd like to pray for you. Today, by the way, You might be here and you haven't heard about a bunch of this, and I sure hope you're not hearing a message that the pastor's just asking for money again. The pastor's not asking for money. We don't need money. God will provide for this church as much as He'll provide for your life. But I do want to tell you that there's not a better way for you to handle your money than to run at the pace that God has for you and that He's created for you. So, Lord, I just pray for each of us in this room, for every person in this room, would you just allow their heart to recognize you now? God, we just ask for your peace, and we know your peace comes with your pace. Lord, you made pacemakers for us. You showed us what pace we meant to run at. You showed us what Sabbath looks like, what trusting you looks like in that way, that you can accomplish more in our 6 days than we can accomplish in our 7 days, and we get rest in you, Lord. You showed us that we can actually have more provision for our lives when we give you 10% of it than if we held it all to ourselves. Lord, thank you for setting those pacemakers for us. I pray today, Lord, that our hearts would be excited. We would be expectant, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, that we would become faithful in the way that you called us to be faithful, that we would be willing in the way that you've called us to be willing. And as we step into that, Lord, I pray that barns would be overflowing, Lord, that bank accounts would become filled up, Lord, that families would be restored, that time with family seems to be extended, Lord, that the time in the day seems to be enough to accomplish work and then some, Lord, that people would start to feel like there's margin in their life. And as there is, Lord, I just pray that we would be faithful with that margin to give where we can, to bless this city, to bless the people around us, to pour out from the overflow that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to rock this city because of that. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody who believes it says, amen. Amen. Well, hey, maybe you don't know the peace of